Okay. We're set. You ready?
I'm ready.
Alrighty. Then I will talk to you afterwards.
Okay. Sounds good, Mary. Thank you.
Okay. Good day.
Good day, Elias. How are you?
As always, and yourself?
I am doing very well, thank you very much. It's been a while since we talked last.
And what shall we discuss this day?
Okay, well, the last time we talked, I got a confirmation that I'm bold and soft. Now, I want a confirmation on a couple of things. Am I tumult alignment?
Yes.
Okay. And am I emotionally focused?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yahoo. Okay, I've got a question on my intent, and I've got two things, and I just want you to kind of tell me what you think. I've been really thinking about this for a long time, and initially I came up with the idea my intent is to gain knowledge, use knowledge, experience knowledge, and share it. But more recently, I came up with the idea that maybe my intent, thinking back to my childhood, was for me to be who I really am. In other words, the person I am on the inside, to bring that person more to the outside world.
Yes, that would be one avenue of your intent. Remember, an intent is a very general theme, and in that there are many much more specific avenues that you explore, that you express in your intent, and that would be one of them. Now, what would you express would be an identification of that general theme?
I go back to that first thing I said then about the knowledge, a constant thirst for knowledge.
I would express that your intent in this focus is discovery, in that it is an exploration of discovering yourself through abilities. And that also includes the discovery of other individuals' abilities and how that can apply to you, or how you can apply to them, and in that also recognizing the interconnectedness in that discovery.
That's really interesting, especially considering the conversation I just had with Mary. But you know what? That resonates with me. I finally get that. So that's cool. Okay, the next thing is, I tell you what, Elias, I've had a time. In the last 2.5 years, 4 of my 6 family members have disengaged. And most recently, my best friend on the whole planet, my sister Connie, died 8 weeks ago yesterday. And I mean, it has sent me into a tailspin. First of all, I want to know how she's doing.
In what capacity?
Well, what is she experiencing right now in her existence?
Very similar actions to what she was experiencing within physical focus, with some exceptions.
What would some of the exceptions be?
Not as many challenges. Not in the manner that you view challenges and difficulties, so to speak.
Okay.
Therefore, she's not challenging herself with problems in your terms. She is presenting to herself challenges, but more so the type of challenges that are inspiring or curious.
Beautiful. I'm so happy. Let me ask you, I have the impression that Connie has already come to me or come through on one or two occasions. Was that really her?
Yes.
Okay, good. I thought it was. Now, I'm confused about her death, and I want you to help me with this. She was diagnosed with cancer 2.5 years ago, and the information I kept receiving was she didn't have cancer. And Connie and I kept telling her that, and she believed it. And she used a lot of different healing modalities, including you and the Seth material and Louise Hay. And up until 2 days before she disengaged, she kept saying to everyone, I do not have cancer, and I am not going to die. And then she died. I don't understand that.
First of all, let me express the first point, that death is a choice that the individual generates in the moment. Whether an individual may actually create a type of method that will seemingly eventually lead to their death or not, and many individuals do, that is not to say that throughout the course of that direction or that method that the individual is actually entertaining that outcome of death. In many situations, they are not. They may be creating a disease that may be viewed as terminal in your terms, and it may be a part of a method to eventually generate that action of disengaging or death, but that is a very broad maybe, and in that it is not to say that the individual is actually genuinely entertaining that direction of death in relation to the method. Some individuals may be generating the method merely as an experiment. And in that, individuals create diseases that are labeled terminal, and at some point they change it, and it disappears. And they...
Connie actually did that twice. Twice she uncreated it, and all the tests and everything validated that the cancer was gone, but then, you know, it came back again. But I guess where I'm confused on this is she said she had so much to live for. She said she couldn't leave her son. She has a brand new grandbaby. I just keep thinking about her value fulfillment, and I'm so shocked that she, I guess, was done, even though objectively she kept saying she was not done.
I am understanding. And in this, remember the first point, that death is a choice that you generate in the moment, regardless of whether you have engaged a method or not. And in this, it is understandable that it can be, or that it becomes confusing to individuals within physical focus if the individual that has died was expressing in a vibrant manner or in a manner that was encouraging or hopeful or determined, and subsequently it appears that they suddenly move in the other direction and they do engage death. In this, what occurred is quite definitely associated with value fulfillment, but let me express to you in this manner that what you observed was her moving into a recognition of satisfaction and appreciation. She moved into a position in which she genuinely was recognizing and experiencing satisfaction with her existence and a comfort with that, and an appreciation for all that she has generated and all that she perceived she already possessed. And in that, although she may have expressed, "I am not disengaging and I incorporate all of these reasons to continue within physical focus and live, so to speak," she also generated that moment of recognition. All that I want is all that I have. All that I have is appreciated, and I am satisfied. And in that, it became a moment of a recognition that there actually was no more that she wanted to accomplish, that she was satisfied with what she had accomplished and what she possessed. And
I can see that. I really can. You know, I miss her so much. I feel like she was the closest person on that earth to me. And I feel like she, even though she was my sister, I feel like she was my soulmate. And the grief is just overwhelming to think that she's gone.
Yes, I am very understanding. And I would express to you, my friend, that it is very important for you to allow that. For you to allow yourself to express what you feel. And it is important for you to experience that, for it allows a release of energy, which is very beneficial. And with that release of energy, it also allows you to not block the ongoing interaction that she has chosen not to be within physical focus any longer, does not disconnect her from you and does not remove her from you. The physical body consciousness may be removed. The physical appearance of the individual may be removed, but the energy is not removed. The connection is not removed. The essence of that individual and who they are is definitely not removed. And when you as an individual within physical focus do not allow yourself the freedom to release energy and express that grief, so to speak, which is very natural, what is created is more of a thickness in energy, for you will hold to your own energy in an action of tension, which creates a barrier and it generates more difficulty in allowing the energy between you to flow freely, in which you can continue to interact. Therefore, I would be very encouraging of you to allow yourself to freely express yourself and to feel what you feel, and recognize also change is difficult for most individuals. There are very few exceptions. And there are varying degrees of change that you experience within your physical existence. Death is one of the most significant changes. This is a change in your direction, in your familiarity, in your existence within physical reality that is, I would express, likely the largest and most difficult change that you can engage within.
I have so much of it. My dad, my brother, and both of my younger sisters have all disengaged in about 2.5 years. And it's like every 9 to 10 months, I only have 2 more family members left as far as my mom and one brother. It's like every 9 to 10 months, someone else has disengaged, and it's just, it knocks me down, and then I get my energy back together, and then it happens again. It has just really been traumatizing.
I am quite understanding. And in all of these actions, what are you doing with you?
I don't really know. I think I try to think it through what happened with them. I don't really know, Elias.
I would express what may be more beneficial and advantageous to you is to allow yourself to genuinely focus upon you. What does this mean to you when an individual that you perceive to be close to you disengages? How does that impact you individually? And what are the different components in that? Let me express to you that for the most part, generally speaking, the reason individuals experience and express grief in relation to death is not only loss. There are many components associated with loss. Yes, that is one factor, but there are other factors also that generally individuals are not actually allowing themselves to address to within themselves, what they are experiencing completely. There is the factor of loss, but there is also a factor of threat. When an individual disengages, now there is a factor of threat in which the individual within physical focus remaining feels an aspect of being threatened for they are alone, regardless of whether you actually are alone or not. That is a very real feeling that occurs in relation to death. This association of being alone, of floundering, of not knowing objectively what is my next step, what do I do, how do I function. Many aspects of my life are now changed for what was familiar and what I am accustomed to engaging within a daily basis now is changed. And that creates a threatening association and a confusing association of how to proceed, how to address to this, what to feel, what to do. And in this, there are many different factors of what you experience yourself for when another individual disengages or dies. It leaves you as the individual remaining in physical focus with many questions, not merely within yourself or of yourself, but questions outside of yourself that are presented to you in different capacities. Therefore, it is very unfamiliar. And when situations are very unfamiliar, generally speaking, they are also uncomfortable. For you are unaccustomed to how to maneuver within unfamiliar directions, and therefore they become threatening, they become unnerving, they become sources of anxiety and distress, and all of this is associated with change. And change also generates an action of prompting you to look at you. Not merely in a manner of looking at yourself in what you do, and now what will you do without the interaction and the camaraderie of this other individual, but who you are. And what your genuine and your unique expression is of yourself. Now, not every individual allows themselves to engage these promptings. This is part of what generates grief. Is that now you are being prompted to evaluate and view yourself for you in your own genuineness. And that can be challenging.
You know, I have found that I have been doing that quite a bit. Not so much with the first three deaths, but with Connie's death, I have really gotten to the point where I'm constantly saying, okay, what is it I want? What are my preferences? If I'm going to stay here, what is it that I want to experience? And I pretty well, I'm beginning to start to define those things. I'm not creating them yet, and that's another question a little bit further down the road here in a minute, but you're right. That's what it's causing me to do, is to really go inward and go, okay, Kathy, what now? I mean, if we're going to stick this out and we're not going to disengage, just how is it we want to live this life of ours? And so that's kind of been the end result with Connie's dying. I'm just so blown away by it that it's really forcing me to stop and look at me.
Correct. So, very much so. And in situations that would not initially be entirely obvious. In one capacity, it is obvious, but in another capacity, it is not. Such as an action that is very familiar in some situations, such as this situation with your sister. That if you engage a very strong and a very close relationship with another individual and the other individual disengages and you remain within physical focus, there are aspects of your interaction together that were very familiar that is now being viewed as a part of the loss, such as a simple example, but a significant one, is that when you are very close to another individual, generally speaking, you share considerably with them.
Yes.
You engage them, you talk to them, you share experiences with them. When you are confused, you engage conversation with them, you inquire of them, you ask for their input, you ask for their advice, you rely on them. And in that, this is not bad, but when the other individual disengages, it prompts you to move in the direction of reevaluating. All of those aspects that I shared with this individual, now what do I do? And who do I share them with? But it prompts you to move more into your genuine self, not to express to yourself that it is not necessary or not important to share with other individuals or to generate interactions that allow you to input information to yourself through other individuals, but to view it somewhat differently in valuing yourself more, trusting yourself more, and acknowledging your own input more. That it is not merely the input from other individuals that is valuable, that your own input is valuable also. And in this, it allows you to move in, yet again, a new and different direction, which is, yet again, another change, in not relying upon other individuals, but engaging them differently in a manner of more genuine sharing with your own inner knowing. Now, let me also clarify in this that not relying on another individual is not synonymous or the same with being independent.
Right.
Therefore, do not confuse those two actions. But in not relying on another individual and their input, you can remain very interconnected and very close and continue to share with another individual, but you are valuing your own input to the point in which there is not that reliance upon the other individual's input to generate your own clarity.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I want to ask you a couple of things about Connie. Can you tell me Connie's essence name?
Essence name. Flutterine. FLUTTERINE.
Wow. Can you tell me how many focuses Connie and I shared? I knew it was a lot. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next thing. The last time you and I spoke, I told you about Natalie Holloway that went missing in Aruba, and I said that she was communicating with me and so forth, and you gave me a lot of information on what to do about it and how to proceed with it. And within a month of our session, Natalie came through and told me specifically where her body was. I began working with the FBI, and I turned the information over to them. The next thing I know, the information that she told me she was removed from Google Earth. It was taken off the internet. And consequently, I followed up with the FBI a couple of months later. They said they turned the information over to the Aruban authorities, and nothing became of it. Can you tell me what you know about my situation with Natalie?
In what capacity?
I mean, did they go look for her? Was she not there, or did they not even look for her, or I don't understand.
Did they search? No.
Is she still where she told me she is?
Yes.
Is there any way I can, I don't know how to bring her home.
And I would express that at this present time framework, you cannot.
Does she not want to be found right now?
That would be somewhat black and white. In expressing, does she want to be found or does she not want to be found? That is too absolute. I would express that it is a mixture in the manner of speaking. Does she want to be found? Yes and no. And in that, when she is ready, that will change.
Do you have any idea of the time framework on it? Or is there any action I should take or anything like that?
No. First of all, I would express that this is her choice.
Okay.
And therefore, any attempt at expressing what that choice may or may not be futurely would be suspect.
Okay.
For that is a choice. And as to your involvement, you have generated your part, so to speak. You have done what you were comfortable in doing, what you felt compelled to do in your involvement. And in this, it is also a matter of recognizing a balance and recognizing that you can choose to participate in a situation, but also recognize that there are other choices involved and that some of those choices are not yours to engage.
Well, I couldn't understand why she felt compelled to tell me specifically where she was if she didn't want to be found. Why do I need to know that information?
For you shared it. Therefore.
Okay.
Therefore, if and when she chooses, that information has been shared.
Okay. All right. So I understand. So if Natalie decides she ever wants to be found, then she will initiate it, but the action that I needed to take has been taken.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I understand that. I did have a series of dreams involving that, and as I began working with the FBI, I had a dream that Seth, I was standing outside that Boyd building with authorities, and Seth threw a smoke bomb into the building, and the authorities became alarmed, and I assured them, don't worry, he's just getting everybody out so that we can go in and get her. And I thought that was an unusual dream.
Interesting. And your assessment?
I don't know. I don't know if it was really set. I don't know. I don't have an assessment. I was confused by that dream.
It is symbolic. And in this, it is imagery of what appears to be a threatening situation, but is not necessarily. And that in whatever you engage, there is support and encouragement with you to be present, and in that to encourage your own confidence also.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, now, here's what I want to discuss. We talked probably close to almost 2 years ago, and I'm very frustrated, Elias. I have not been able to create any of the things that I've wanted to create. And, you know, today, before we started the session, I had an aha moment this morning. And I thought, you know, I've had these yearnings since I was a really small child. And they all continue to go unfulfilled. And I'm so frustrated.
Such as?
Well, for example, first of all, I'm living in Connie's home. It's temporary. I want to own a home. You and I talked about this before. I want a house so badly. I want a relationship. I am so lonely. I have not had a relationship in over 2 years. I want meaningful work. I'm working as a waitress at 56 years old, and I hate it. And no matter what I try, I don't seem to bring about any of the changes that I want in my life.
And what are you attempting?
Well, you and I had talked about the probability of me hitting the lottery. I thought, well, that would enable me to buy a home. I've looked at various things for meaningful work, and nothing, I don't know, either nothing clicks with me or nothing's actually taken off. I constantly try to take action on meeting someone, and nothing ever works out there.
What have you done in the direction of what interests you and what you actually enjoy doing?
Well, for one thing, I do enjoy, back to the house, I love painting. I love fixing things up. Mary and I have talked about this at length. I'm in my element when I'm in my home, you know, being able to decorate or paint or whatever. So that's something that I really, really, really enjoy. And a year ago, I was making a living going in to other people's homes and painting their homes and fixing them up for them. But ultimately, after about 9 months of it, I guess I became resentful that all this creativity didn't result in me a home. It resulted in me fixing other people's homes.
But the point is generating both, by engaging a direction and actions that you genuinely enjoy and that you are interested in and that you are motivated to do, which also affords you the direction of including or generating money. Therefore, creating both actions. Engaging the actions that you genuinely appreciate and allowing that to generate money and therefore also allowing you to engage that process of stepping closer and closer to what you yourself want to create through a process that you enjoy.
But see, I've tried the process several different times and can barely make a living at it. You know, I don't even make enough money in the process to pay my bills, much less buy a home, and that's how I've ended up waiting tables again.
And what would you express is the reason that you are not generating the type of income in doing the type of actions that you enjoy doing?
Well, for example, I love studying the shift, and for years I thought I'd like to make that my life's work. When I moved home to be with Connie 3 months ago, I went to a bookstore and said, could I hold a class? And they were very excited about it, and they said, not only will we let you hold the class, but for each person that attends, we'll pay you $2.50. And I went, oh, well, that's awesome. I wasn't expecting any money. But, you know, I'm doing what I love, and 4 people show up. So that's not generating a lot of money. Or when I was doing the painting and decorating other people's homes, it was very hit and miss, and I'd make $200 here or $300 there, but nothing substantial.
I am understanding, but this is an excellent example of the action of painting or decorating other individuals' homes. For what did you also express to myself in this conversation that you were generating while you were engaging that? Being resentful.
Oh.
And not being satisfied with what you were doing, for your perception was you were doing it for other individuals, not for yourself. Therefore, you are engaging in action that you enjoy doing, but you are turning that action into a chore that you do not enjoy doing. You are not allowing yourself to engage the action for the pleasure of enjoying the action and genuinely engaging yourself in focusing yourself and appreciating what you are doing and generating that satisfaction and accomplishment within yourself. No, you are engaging the job and it becomes a chore, and in that your perception is that you are not doing this for yourself, for the reason that you genuinely enjoy doing it, you are doing it to generate money for other individuals. And what type of energy do you suppose you are generating if you are creating that type of perception?
Well, I guess an opposing energy.
Quite so. And do you suppose that you are drawing more and more to yourself, attracting more to yourself in that situation? No. What you are drawing more and more to yourself is the reflection of what you are expressing, that you are dissatisfied, that you do not want to do this, that you are uncomfortable, that you are resentful, that this is a job, that it is a chore, and in that, this is what you draw to yourself, less and less, and less appreciation, and less of what you would term to be, or that you would associate to be, a reward for what you are doing. When you engage a project yourself that you are very focused in, and you are generating a satisfaction in engaging the action, and you are genuinely enjoying yourself, what are you also doing? You reward yourself. You reward yourself with your own productivity, in which you can stand and view your accomplishment, and what do you feel when you view your accomplishment?
Oh, a lot of things. Like, I mean, I feel happy. I feel full of pride. I don't know. I mean, all of the good stuff.
Correct. You are pleased with yourself and with your accomplishment. You are proud of yourself. You are confident. You are expressing an appreciation for yourself. You have generated this action. You enjoyed generating this action. You accomplished this action. And you have generated this productivity as an expression of the action. In this, that is not the energy that you are expressing in these other situations that you are trying. And what have I expressed in relation to trying? Trying is not doing.
Right. I knew what you were going to say. Well, I guess I haven't found the right... I guess I don't have a clue what kind of work I'm supposed to be doing. And because I don't, I worked on this for the better part of 2 years, and since I'm still clueless, that's why I'm out there waiting tables.
I would express to you, allow yourself to note or to list what you genuinely enjoy doing. In that, list time frameworks and experiences that you have already incorporated, that you genuinely enjoyed doing, that you genuinely were interested in, and that you were focused in, and that you liked engaging.
Well, I've done that before, and I've even kind of shared that with other people and trying to help them find what it is they would enjoy doing. And I've listened and re-listened to the one session you had with the girl about the dog and being outside and painting and whatever. You know, I like playing tennis. The stuff I like is so disjointed. I have not yet been able to figure out how I can put. I love studying and reading and sharing the shift. But in the different avenues that I've tried to make a living at it, I don't know, it's not generated much money. I love painting and decorating, and so I thought that was a natural avenue. But like I said, what I found was after so many houses, other people's houses, I just got to the point where, yeah, I like doing this, but you know, for a change, I'd like to do my house. And I don't have a house. So I guess I could try that list again, but I've tried it a couple of times, and I haven't been able to put it all together, I guess.
You did not allow me to complete my statement.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm well aware that I have already suggested this to you, and I am well aware that you tried and did not allow yourself to be successful. What I was expressing to you was, in addition to this, to begin to allow yourself your natural flow in relation to your intent, and to discover outside of your own box that you have built for yourself, rather than moving in the direction of merely engaging a thought process as to what you can do with the actions that you enjoy doing. Allow yourself to move into being the adventurer that you are. Be the explorer that you are, and discover other options, other directions that may not necessarily be as obvious. Research and actually engage rather than trying. Engage your own creativity. Engage that natural explorer of yourself. Engage that researcher within yourself. You express to myself, you are very motivated to engage knowledge, to offer yourself knowledge. You're not offering yourself knowledge in what you were doing, in what you were trying. You were generating ideas that are mundane, that are very obvious, and did not require much creativity or exploration or discovery. And in that, you were not as motivated and not as engaged and definitely not fascinated.
No. Okay, you really intrigued me on this one. I promise I'm going to try that, but you just got me so intrigued. It's like, I don't have a clue. I have no clues, but I guess I'll, you know, try to come up with some.
Begin to research.
I don't know what to research. I don't have a clue what to research.
Research in fun. Merely choose a subject and allow yourself to explore it in as far of avenues as you perceive you can, regardless of how strange or bizarre they may appear to be initially.
Okay. I have one more quick question for you. What's the tie connection with Albert Einstein, the familiarity I have with Albert Einstein?
A very familiar energy. You do engage counterpart action, and in that, you also do generate a similar type of energy, which would be quite understandable that you would generate a fascination, which the expressions and the directions of that individual very much reflect your own intent in experimenting, in discovery, in exploring. This is what you naturally do.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, great. This has been a good session, Elias. You've given me a lot to think about. This is awesome. At least I feel like I have some kind of direction now.
Very well.
Wonderful.
I shall be tremendously encouraging of you, my friend, and greatly supporting. Until our next meeting, with tremendous appreciation to you, in dear friendship and in great lovingness. Au revoir.